I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Barbershop Guys discuss what's hot this week. Paris Hilton says she is so hot she's running for president. Sort of. But first, we're going to go in a totally different direction, our weekly Faith Matters conversation. Today, we want to talk about food, faith, and ethics. Agriprocessors, Inc., a kosher slaughterhouse in Postville, Iowa, has been in and out of the news for years now. In 2004, there were news reports that animals were being slaughtered carelessly and cruelly. Then, in mid-May of this year, a federal raid resulted in the arrests of nearly 300 workers who are alleged to have been illegally employed at the plant. And now those workers are telling investigators about horrible working conditions they say they endured, a lack of safety precautions, very long hours, poor health benefits, and a willingness to employ teenagers for this very dangerous work. While working at a slaughterhouse has never been a picnic, this story raises a question. Are people of faith called to higher standards in choosing what to buy and eat? To discuss this question, we're joined by Rabbi Menachem Ginach. He is the head of the Orthodox Union Kosher Division, which supervises and certifies many kosher foods. He's joining us from WBGO in Newark. And Rabbi Shmuel Hertzfeld is the rabbi of Ohev Shalom, the National Synagogue in Washington, D.C. And he's here in the studio with me in Washington. Welcome to you both, rabbis. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to be with you.
Rabbi Ginach, I'll start with you as quickly as you can, because I know this is a subject of much discussion. What is kosher?
Kosher means fit, proper, in accordance with Jewish law, halacha. And in this particular context, the way it's usually used is in reference to food products, that they meet the kosher standards formulated initially actually in the Bible, in Leviticus, and there's rabbinic legislation which expands on it through the centuries.
Rabbi Hertzfeld, you recently published an op-ed in the New York Times, and you say that to be kosher means something actually rather more expansive, ethically and religiously. Would you expand on that?
In today's society in America, there is an expectation by many consumers that kosher means that the product is of a higher standard. I think the OU recognizes that many companies want to put the OU's name on their product, even though it doesn't even need OU certification. For example, water, products like that.
Is the Orthodox Union.
The Orthodox Union is a brand of the OU, which is a terrific brand to be associated with it. And my point about agriprocessors was that there's a lot of allegations, and therefore I feel it's the responsibility of the Jewish community to make sure that we can successfully alleviate those concerns so that the charges against the whole kosher industry can be satisfied to the sufficient needs of the consumer.
Let's just stipulate for the sake of our conversation that some of the allegations, at least some of the allegations against agriprocessors, are true, that underage workers or that workers worked long hours in poor conditions. Is that religiously relevant, Rabbi Shmuel?
Well, I think it's religiously relevant. I think that it matters to the extent that those allegations are true. You know, it's hard to stipulate. I think everybody's entitled to their due process. But one of the things that concerns me is that if agriprocessors is implicated, the OU is...
The Orthodox Union.
The Orthodox Union is then partially responsible. We don't know how much, but because they were involved in certifying the kosher industry, I think, God forbid, there would be an error of commission there. But even if it's an error of omission, and we don't know the extent, it's a concern. And I'm not saying there was those mistakes, but the reality is, therefore, I called for an independent investigation to restore the credibility of the OU and of the company involved.
You mean an investigation on religious grounds by religious people?
Yeah,
not the Labor Department, not some other governmental entity. Rabbi Ginach, what about that? I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument that perhaps workers were not treated appropriately. But let's say that the animals were slaughtered according to religious requirements. Is the treatment of the workers religiously relevant?
Yes, it is religiously relevant. All these concerns, the social and ethical concerns, workers' rights, animal welfare, environmental issues, all of these issues have a biblical root and certainly a rooted in Jewish tradition. And, of course, the question is what's the action that should be taken? But when these issues arose to our knowledge, and it's by no means trivial that all these claims or even some of them are true, we're in the midst of a federal and state investigation.
No, I think we all agree on that that is true. The truth or falsity is absolutely relevant. But I'm just saying for the sake of our conversation.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, in terms of, you know, what was the OU's response? So I must emphasize these claims, and I'm not saying they're true or not true. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are true. But they're not by any means obvious to a person visiting the plant to know whether they have illegal immigrants working there, because they all present, in this case, obviously, false documentation. The underage children that were working there is a corollary of that, because they're also presenting documentation, false documentation, namely, both in terms of Social Security numbers and, you know, their age. But what we've done is we insisted on two things, that the company hire a compliance officer who would be, by reputation, and expertise would bring credibility to their operation, and that people can be comfortable that the system's in place, both in terms of, you know, that the people working there are not illegal aliens, that they're being properly treated, that the safety in the plant is appropriate. And to that end, they hired Jim Martin, who's a former U.S. attorney in St. Louis, and he's put in additional systems. For example, he put in a hotline. He hired a former OSHA official to make sure that the standards in terms of all OSHA requirements, especially safety in the plant, are being properly administered. Every day they begin now with a five-minute sort of speech from him, making sure that they know all the different issues, that they brought the proper equipment with them.
I think, though, Rabbi Hirschfeld's point, though, is that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think that Rabbi Hirschfeld's point is that, first of all, conditions at slaughterhouses are notoriously difficult. The work itself, for a lot of people, is very depressing and challenging. I mean, the whole point is to slaughter animals for people
correct.
To eat, and it's never been easy work. It's never been a comfortable work. I think his argument, though, is that kosher slaughterhouses, by dint of the fact that they serve a religious purpose, have to meet a higher standard, and part of that higher standard has to be not just compliance. What do you say to that?
Well, the other requirement that we hate, I'm going to come back to your question in a second, is also that we require that the company bring in new management and new CEO, and that the current CEO, the former one now, family member, had to step down. Coming back to your question, the OU's position is that all of these issues are, or many of them, are regulated by federal or state agencies, environmental's EPA, the USDA, OSHA, and others. And we believe that the governmental standards that are in place are the ones that, you know, should be adhered to. We as a kosher agency don't have expertise. It would be completely arbitrary for us to establish that kind of a standard. It would be very amorphous. So, and similarly, you know, what's the proper pay that people should be paid in the in a slaughterhouse? If it's below minimum wage, then of course they're breaking law and it's inappropriate. But we don't have, at this point, you know, an independent standard different than governmental standards. And so we're hoping that, you know, these government agencies, which were created, you know, to get us out of the jungle, in quotes, are the appropriate venue, and it's to them we look. Okay. In a very prosaic way, you know, people ask me sometimes, how do you give supervision on, you know, certain candy bars? You know, it's not healthful. So we're not in a position to evaluate what's healthful or not. For that, we turn to the FDA. And these issues, In all these various issues, both animal welfare and, of course, workers' rights and safety, also should be regulated by these federal agencies.
Rabbi, I'd like to let Rabbi Hirschfeld respond. And Rabbi Hirschfeld, what about Rabbi Ganek's point that perhaps some of these issues are really beyond the scope of the Orthodox Union? And frankly, if one of the arguments is that Agriprocessors is the largest kosher slaughterhouse in the U.S., it's the only one allowed to export food to Israel, if the standards there don't meet the requirements for kosher, I think the question some would have is, how are people to be in compliance at all? What do you say, Rabbi Hirschfeld?
For the most part, I agree with what Rabbi Ganek is saying, that to try to expand the kashrut organization to oversee every single aspect of life, I mean, there's reductio ad absurdum. But where I disagree with Rabbi Ganek is in this specific case of agriprocessors, because the allegations have been going on here and the accusations have been made, and it's been in the papers for so long, and there's so much smoke around it that I feel as a Jew, as a rabbi, as a kosher customer, that we have an extra responsibility in this specific case to
recognize.
But
why do you have an extra responsibility?
Because I feel that in this case, the allegations, if true, will be a great desecration of God's name. And I think Rabbi Ganak agrees with that, that if the allegations are true, then something very terrible went on here. Whose fault it is a separate issue, but something terrible went on, if true.
What if the consequence, Rabbi Hertzfeld, is you cannot acquire kosher meat that meets your standards, your ethical standard, your religious standard? What if that is, in fact, the consequence? Are you prepared to live with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you would ask Rabbi Ganak if we can't find a kosher animal, he would say, well, then we can't eat. God forbid. If something's not kosher, we can't eat it. I have full confidence that we can rectify it. I don't think we need to throw out the system. I think we need to make repairs and to fix it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Rabbi Menachem Ganak, the head of the Orthodox Union Kosher Division, and Rabbi Shmuel Hertzfeld of Ohev Shalom, the National Synagogue in Washington, D.C. We're talking about the ethical obligations related to the kosher meatpacking plant Agriprocessors, Inc. Rabbi Ganak, what about it? It seems that part of what Rabbi Hertzfeld is saying is that too many compromises have gone on along the way, that in order to, that the, it's almost like the forest has obscured the trees, that the ultimate ethical obligation is being buried in the desire to continue to make these products available for people. And that might be, you know, worthwhile and religiously important, but it's not as important as maintaining a standard, even if it's really hard to do.
Well, this ultimately comes back to the facts. About 2 years ago, I called the USDA because, you know, as Rabbi Herzl correctly says, these stories and allegations have been in the paper and the Forward and others. And there were 20 USDA inspectors in that plant. There's a squad of inspectors each day, because it has, like every meat factory, it has constant supervision from the federal government. And, you know, I asked them, these are the allegations, but in terms of, and have you seen this? It's not easy for a USDA inspector also to know, because, you know, to know if they're illegal aliens or if there are certain instances of abuse, they're not so obvious. If you don't have subpoena power, it's very hard to know whether documentation is false or not.
Did you ever go to the plant? Did you ever go yourself?
Did you ever
see workers there who looked younger than you thought they should be? Did you ever see practices that kind of caused you some discomfort?
No, I did not. And when I was there, I actually spoke to the veterinarians there, different USDA inspectors. I spoke to some of the workers, but I did not see that kind of abuse. All of what Rabbi Hertzfeld is speaking about is something I must tell you that I struggle with each day, to try to find the right balance in terms of, you know, due process, what's fair to the company, what's in terms of responsibility to the consumer, you know, the decisions and the struggle, and trying to strike the right balance. There was a group that went out this past week. I wasn't part of it, but they did meet with the mayor of Postville, which is a tiny town in Iowa, and he was concerned. He said that if this plant would close, the local economy would just collapse. The school system would collapse, because most of the children in the school system are the children of the workers, and some of them are the detained workers.
Rabbi Hertzfeld? Because one of the questions I had, what about Rabbi Ganak's point is that, I mean, that there's an issue of the carbon footprint, for example, that the cost, the means by which these products are moved across the country sort of has a cost to the environment. Should that be factored in? I mean, how do you decide how to balance these competing ethical questions?
Well, I think that there's the Torah values, which are all-encompassing and very demanding, and we try to attain those values. And then there's what is the OU certifying? And although the OU certifies only the fact that the animal is slaughtered and prepared properly, there is the expectation by the consumers, and the OU is, of course, aware of this, and Rabbi Ganak is aware of this, there's the expectation that the product is prepared properly. But I also think that because this has gone on for too long, we need another voice from the outside to step in, a great rabbinic voice, to also lend credibility. There's a concept in Jewish law that if you're, and this is in American law as well, that if you're too involved in the situation, you need to recuse yourself. Therefore, I think he should make space for another rabbi or independent voice to come in and lend their authority to the situation as well.
Rabbi Ganak, what about that?
In terms of the facts of the case, we've said we're going to see where the facts lead. But, you know, whatever commission we would establish would pale as compared to a government agency that has subpoena power and, you know, all the resources of government. I must hasten to say, not that I'm so impressed by the way the government handled this. I thought that on the ethical level, taking all these workers who are sort of on the bottom of the totem pole and putting them in jail for 5 months, and the way the trial was handled, they were also deprived, to my impression, to do, you know, due process.
Mm-hmm. And we only have a couple of minutes left, so I did want to ask each of you, how significant an issue is this for your communities and congregations? I don't know, Rabbi Ganek, if you're serving a congregation at the moment in addition to your other responsibilities.
It is a very significant issue. People are concerned about it. Of course, it's playing out now in the national press. And, you know, I think maybe I'll be in a we'll all be in a better position to respond to it when we know all the facts as they play out. And then we'll try to see what's the right balance between these two things. There's a lot of debate within the community, the Jewish community. Those issues are important. They shouldn't be disregarded. They're extremely significant. But who ultimately is responsible for implementation? Should the kashrus agency set that kind of a standard? Or should we work under the aegis of existing laws and federal agencies mm-hmm. that have the resources and mandate to monitor these things?
Rabbi Hirschfeld, final thought?
Yeah, I really appreciate your question, Michelle, because the reason why I spoke out on this matter, and it was a very painful thing for me to do, and I've been attacked by many of my colleagues, and I literally have received countless of requests by congregants and by people in our community who have said that they're embarrassed and that they're ashamed. And they've come to me, and many of them have been crying. And they said, this is dragging our name down. And it's one thing if you're in an insular Jewish community to say, okay, well, we don't believe it, we can fight through this. But the world at large doesn't see it that way. If these allegations are true, this is absolutely something we need to be ashamed and embarrassed about.
Rabbi Menachem Ganek is the president of the Orthodox Union Kosher Division, which supervises and certifies many kosher foods. He was kind enough to join us from member station WBGO in Newark, New Jersey. Rabbi Shmuel Hirschfeld is the rabbi of Ochev Shalom, the National Synagogue. He joined us in our studio in Washington, D.C. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.